Hi, welcome to Lizard People. This is a show where we talk all about conspiracy theories, crazy people, and kooky ideas about what's going on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Caitlin Hempstead. Let's get to the show.
Well, I mean, in the book, in Alex, is it Alex Gibney? Is that his name? Why did I pull that out of nowhere?
That's really impressive.
Going clear?
Yeah.
There's a thing in the book where he says that there are more Rastafarians than there are Scientologists, like registered and, you know, and you're like,
committed
Rastafarians,
lifestyle.
Like that's like, it's not that big of it. And they have all these giant buildings all over town.
It's but the they're money empty. That I think is maybe scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that they are empty, but it's also like, how did they just buy that thing at the corner by Cafe Vita, like that on the corner of like Sunset and whatever?
No, I know. Yeah. I think it's like when you have enough like Tom Cruise, John Travolta, like that much power and money situation, you know, and at a time, I think in the like 80s, they were very, in 90s, they were very powerful and they had a lot of people. But I don't know. I just think that if they were doing better, we would hear about it more in a way.
Yeah.
Or we would know people. I actually just yesterday or 2 days ago found out that a friend of mine is a Scientologist and I did not know.
Like a practicing? Like
yeah, born into it. Born into it.
I know a couple born into it.
Okay, yeah.
And it's so interesting because a lot of them are like culturally Scientologists in the way that people are like culturally Jewish.
I heard it through a friend and I'm like, I want to talk to this friend about it because I'm more like fascinated by it because I'm more like, I want to know because I'm... Because I always said I didn't know any Scientologists. Because in the comedy world, it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
It's really hard to justify that. But this person is hilarious. This person is a very talented comedian. So I'm really interested in that.
I want to ask about who. But I won't. Because, you know, Tanya Roberts is listening.
Exactly. You never know. Everyone's listening.
Everyone's listening. You never know. Are you ready to get down to business?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Well, our guest today is the very, very funny actor, comedian, improviser, impersonator.
Ish.
Character creator, Drew Droege is here.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hello, Drew.
Hello.
What a delight.
It's been a delight.
So happy you could be here. We gave you water. We talked about cats.
You had to use the restroom. Mm-hmm.
We let you. You had to ask a couple times.
To do it.
Yeah.
It was $1. I had to pay you $1, but it's worth it.
Which I think is pretty reasonable.
I think it's fine.
To relieve yourself?
Thank you. Come on.
Get out of here. Would you like to tell the listeners what you're here to argue today?
Sure. First of all, I love that you're doing this. This is so great. And when you asked me about this, I was like, oh my God, I'm thrilled because I'm fascinated by conspiracy theories and always thinking like, what if? Okay. So do you know what MK Ultra was?
I do know what MK Ultra was.
Okay.
So it was this sort of experimental arm of the government that was testing crazy drugs, mind powers.
Yes. And like the 60s and 70s, like late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. I just did a play called Die Mommy Die, which is set in 1967.
Really?
Yes. And in the play, they mention not MK Ultra specifically, but they mention government using LSD to test, to control the minds of the masses. And in this play, these two kids, they think that their mother is guilty of killing their aunt. And they find out that they have the mother and the aunt are twins. And you find out that their mother was actually killed and it's actually their aunt playing their mother all along.
Spoilers. Just because it came out in 1968.
Yeah, well,
no
it came out. Well, that play came out in 99, but it was set in 67.
Okay.
And so they talk about the government using LSD for mind control. And so I've always been obsessed with that. And just over the years and knowing like people that would also like, you know, sign themselves up for government experiments like Ken Casey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, signed himself up for all these government experiments. And it sort of started the like hippie counterculture movement and all these But it's crazy to think that our government found these drugs, these psychotropic drugs, and they were like, how can we use this? Oh, let's control people with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so also in the late 70s, the whole kabang of it happened in 78, was obviously Jonestown, which you know about.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that it was the single biggest non-natural disaster loss of American life. Yeah.
Yeah.
In one happening.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of people died. So, yeah. So just if people don't know, it's an amazing story. Just Google it. There are plenty of documentaries. There's actually an amazing TV movie with Powers Booth.
Really? I love Powers Booth from Deadwood.
He plays Jim Jones. Yes, he plays Jim Jones. He's amazing. And it's a TV movie, but it was back when in the 80s when they actually made like incredible TV movies around them. But it was, I don't remember the name of it, but maybe it was just called Jonestown. But anyway, Jim Jones was a very powerful religious leader in San Francisco in the 70s. He was very involved in government. And that's my feeling. That's my theory, because he was very involved with Mayor Moscone, and Harvey Milk in San Francisco endorsed him.
Jerry Brown went Jerry to his fundraising Brown, dinner.
Absolutely.
Isn't
Jerry Brown
bonkers?
And Walter Mondale mm-hmm. was also very much. And so he was very tied up with the government, but he started a church called the People's Temple and started in San Francisco. And he was very much a socialist, and he was into recruiting a lot of African American people. And at the time, you know, it was basically saying, the government's let you down. We need to basically create this utopia.
I'm so sorry I keep interjecting, but he had ties with Angela Davis.
Yes,
which is
yes.
wild.
Yes.
That she was like, yes, this person yes. is a genuine anti-racist. Like, he yes. is the guy.
And I believe, for as horrible as he was, he was also genuinely and was anti-racist and had good ideas. And like cult leaders and like Scientology, you read the tenets and it all makes sense on paper. Like any good cult, you wouldn't succeed if you read it eventually and go, that's insane.
They don't let you at the Xenu stuff until you get $800,000
in. You're like, oh, I've got thetans running around in my skin or whatever's happening.
Ouchie.
You know? So it was a utopia, and it was. And it, again, if you watch Wild Wild Country and see, you know, it's at the time when the Rajneesh was later, obviously, but, and there were so many. But even, you know, if you read like the things that Charles Manson was telling his family, it was like, well, he's accepting these outcasts, and he's saying, you deserve love, and I'm here to love you, and I'm here to take care of you. And so that was all happening. And he opened another church. Jim Jones opened another church in LA, and it was just growing and growing and growing. And finally he said, we need to create a utopian society. So he found this village in Guyana in South America and started Jonestown, and hundreds of people went down there to start this town. And it was, there was no police, there were no laws. It was like, we're creating this perfect environment where we're going to build everything.
Socialist utopia, rainbow family.
Exactly. And live and let live. And we're going to, you know, farm our own food, and we're going to raise children here. And it was this amazing thing. And then it started to get a little weird, and then that people were starting to leave and starting to feel like, oh, it became like some sort of communist day camp or work camp, not a day camp, a full on you're living here.
Isn't it wild that day camp and work camp are exactly opposite?
Like, why I said day camp, because it's not, you could not go home at the end. You were living there.
No, it was all day, all night.
Real
bad.
And
shit.
There were a lot of drugs happening, and Jim Jones was just injecting all kinds of things into himself.
Nobody knew how to farm. Everybody was starting to get hungry. Poisoned.
It got super weird. And then there's certain people where there was talks of poison and situations. And so, obviously there was a Senator Leo Ryan who, went down there because he claimed to have he was friends with the son or the father of a kid who got mysteriously killed, but in California, mm-hmm. but it was like a follower and so he was like, something's up. He went down there, spent the night there, And everything was peachy keen. Apparently, they found out later that there were all these rehearsals leading up to his arrival to rehearse what to say when he was there.
Yeah.
And then the next day, he had a couple airplanes about 10 miles outside of Jonestown in Guyana, scheduled to leave after his visit. And after a giant kerfuffle, to say it, to put it at least.
A kerfuffle is
a major shootout happens, and Leah Ryan was killed. And then after that happened, Jim Jones was like, we have to, we're going to get, they're going to come for us because we've just killed a senator. So everyone drank, the story is that everyone drank this poison, this grape Kool-Aid, and hundreds of people, children, everything in between, people, children, everything in between.
No, I agree with you. You know,
you're
not
really
a
person until you're 18.
I'm
going to go out on a limb and say it.
No, I think even a 17-year-old is basically like a, I don't know, like a kiddie.
They
yeah.
don't get it.
They're dumb.
But there was this, a mass suicide. Some say a mass murder. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is there was too much going on with government testing that. I believe that MK Ultra was involved because MK, there are countless stories. I mean, if you've seen Stranger Things, it's very much like Matthew Modine's character in that, like these kids that were tested. I believe that our government was involved. Jim Jones was so involved with the government that he was sitting down there to test a sort of utopian society, and to try these drugs out on these people to see how it worked. And it all went terribly wrong.
So wrong.
Yeah.
As wrong as it goes. 918 people died.
In one day.
Isn't that fucking nuts?
That's insane.
Ugh, so many people. And I read that a lot of them were elderly because he specifically, government or not, he specifically targeted elderly people to bring down with him so that he could cash their social security checks.
Yes. Yes.
He was the devil.
He's the devil. But also you think about with our government at the time and the 70s and as black power was on the rise, it was very threatening to, I'm trying to think at the time president would have been Ford. Yeah. Or no, Carter.
I feel like Carter sounds more familiar.
Carter was in from 76.
Jonestown.
Yeah. Yes, Carter was president, which doesn't fit as much as, but it was just a few years in. But you're talking about as a backlash from Nixon and everything was happening with
moral majority.
Yes, and there was and Angela Davis and Black Panthers and there was Black Power and a rise and Jim Jones was so willing to take all of these people in and say, I'm going to give you this perfect life. And yet it was 45% black women who died at Jonestown. It was 45% of them were black women.
Really?
Yeah.
And
so that's also suspect that he really targeted African-American community.
At a time when African-Americans were like,
on the rise.
Hey, we deserve rights also.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, and also... in this, in horrible government ways, it's like always like straight white men are going to take care of straight white men. If you're anything other than that, you're a little bit, we can sort of tinker with you. We can sort of play around with you. You're experiment fodder.
Damn. Ice cold.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we had, AIDS, a decade later and it was the same thing. Our government did nothing about it. It's like, when it's like a community that's not, the norm, when you don't look like Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan, you're fine.
Or have
fine.
Sex like Ronald Reagan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, don't we all want to have sex like Ron and
can
Nancy?
Can you imagine?
No, it's disgusting.
Lights off, sheet in between. Ugh,
so many jelly beans in that bed.
He's just showering her with nasty, stinky.
Sick. Calling her, what did he call her? Mommy.
Mommy.
Gross.
Mommy. Can you imagine
disgusting.
If you were inside of someone calling him mommy? I hate
Never.
Reagan. I hate so many things about
him. I hate
him
so much.
This is like the least of it, but I
hate him
too. Past.
I love you for saying that. He was terrible.
What a wang. A
horrible human being.
What an absolute trash heap.
Right. And I really do feel like, I really do think Ronald Reagan only a little bit better than who we have now. I truly think that. This
I'm
is a
not
man
enough
who
of a student of history to say.
He was completely he was governor of California, which any of us could do. Truly. I mean, California runs itself. California's fine. Like, anybody can be governor of California. It's not, especially if you know who to surround yourself with and by. And it's like.
And the main thing he did was like destroy mental health in California forever after.
Absolutely. And social security.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, like, I mean, the AIDS thing, I will never. It's like, and I grew up as a kid in that time. I didn't really, none of that was really affecting me. In my household, Reagan was God. I mean, he was the greatest thing ever. And it took years later to realize, like, oh, he was an actor. He was propped up. Nothing he said he believed. He was full blown, you know, in, he had Alzheimer's his last four years in office. And so he wasn't running anything. I mean, he was an idiot. He was asleep at the wheel. And there was a lot that went terribly wrong under him that, you know, we still pay for.
Yeah.
To this day. So everyone freaking out now. I'm right there with you. But we've had some pretty horrible people in that position before. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about.
Listen, I'll talk about Reagan's all day. But
I think the government is evil. And I think anytime a utopian society is sort of created and it makes such a splash. Mm. I'm also, you know, I wonder, like, that senator going down there, what was the point of that
mission? That was one of my questions that I was going to ask you, because if this is sort of a controlled laboratory of experimentation and they're like, oh, great, here's all these people that, you know, like, won't be missed or people who are easy to exploit, why send a white guy, beloved, I think, senator down to do like a fact-finding mission?
Well, I just wonder why he was initially going down there, if it was a thing to check on things, if it was, I just wonder, like, why wasn't he killed right away? Why was he killed at the end, at the airport when he got there? Why, when he was in the middle of the night staying at Jonestown, why didn't they get rid of him there?
The story that I've heard is that he was headed back. He said, oh, everything looks great. And then a couple people basically very dramatically ran out onto the airstrip and were like, we want to come with you. We want to leave. Mm. And Jim Jones freaked out and was like, oh, no, if these people blow it, they're going to send the government in and we're screwed. And so he just was so high and douchebaggy that he was like, kill him.
Right. And that's the documentary I've seen, and that's the story that's told.
That's the story.
Right. Because I've seen that too, and I've seen the documentary about it. There have been a million, but like I did see that, and it feels very cinematic that would happen like that. Like, I want to go with you, and wait, no, bang, you know. But it's just, I just wonder, I just have to question what that senator knew. Was there some sort of deal that went wrong? Was there some sort of, you know, message that needed to be conveyed?
Do you think he could have been a patsy?
Possibly.
Hmm. Like they just sent him down to die?
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know when you're in that situation. Yeah. You know, what he knew.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that brings me to one of the big questions, which is, what was the end game for Jonestown? Because if it's sort of the government is endorsing the experiments that are going on there under the table, there's only a few ways that it can end.
Right.
And most of them are everybody dying.
Right, right. I don't know that it was initially planned that way. I wonder if they were looking at really seeing if it would work. And they wanted to see
a real utopian.
A real
experiment.
Utopia. Okay. And I wanted, because there's evidence of them using drugs throughout when they were there. And so that's what makes me think that they were trying things out when they were, and it's the same. It was in Wild Wild Country as well. They were dosing the water and sort of using, like, how can we get all these people to think the same way? Or how can we sort of, you know, break them down and sort of get them to work for us. And I think if it did work, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, they're like, oh, let's create utopias everywhere and create these dream societies where we can get people to work for us and we can build new
American dreams.
New American dreams and put them all over the world.
Mm-hmm. That's colonized. Interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. So if we find the right combination of like LSD and
how to get the people to just all do, because
farming.
People are, it's terrifying how much we are programmed to be followers and to be cult members.
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook is that way. We share news that we haven't followed up on. We're constantly like, oh, I have to feel this way. You know, and just everything. It's like okay, so if you're liberal, you have to feel this way. If you're conservative, you have to feel this way. There's no gray areas.
Pick your little
And that terrifies cult. Me. And I'm violently against this sort of blind thinking. Like, I think down the pike one way. I fight sort of hive mind all the time. We even say it on Facebook, hive mind, what's blah, blah, blah. Like, we only want everyone around us to think the same way we do. That's very much a human quality. And so when someone comes out as it's why we, you know, worship our celebrities so much, or our, you know, these figures or some, it's why the most dynamic person wins president every election. It's it's the flashiest, most dynamic person that wins that election because people want that. It's like everyone knew that Hillary would be a better president, hands down. But she wasn't, you know,
crazy stunts,
big, you know, guns and you know, and sparklers and in your
went.
Face and yeah, absolutely.
And Obama, probably.
And Obama and Clinton and everybody who's won. You look at the competition, and you're like, they weren't as flashy.
Oh fuck.
They may have been smarter. They may have been way more prepared. But it's that flash. And so when someone comes along with the swagger of like a Jim Jones, it's like everyone attaches themselves to that and they say, what can we get out of that person? Mm-hmm. How many celebrities have been built up to be this thing that because they realize, oh, you have a following behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government gets involved and makes them a deal they can't refuse.
Mm-hmm. Britney in 2008 with George Bush. Have you heard that one?
What about Britney? What is
Britney? Oh my gosh, one of my most beloved conspiracy theories that in 2008, when was that? Before
Obama.
Would
she shave her head?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Britney was being paid by the White House to do crazy stunts to distract from the White House's abuses of like the democratic process, the Bush White House.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, it makes sense.
I believe it.
I will go there because it's like, why wouldn't you? It's like a thing. We're so easily swayed.
Yeah. Well, so here's my question. Mm-hmm. Was Jim Jones just this like incredibly charismatic, but like naturally leader? This all came straight out of his head. Was he in the pocket of the government completely all the way? Or did at some point the government say, hey, you've got a following. We want to get in on it.
I think it was what you just said. I think it was like first of all, like, you know, anybody that has, you know, this sort of big personality, you are egomaniac, love them, hate them, whatever. There's someone you have to have this sort of, I have all the answers. I am the truth.
I am the way and the light.
Mm-hmm. You have to have that personality, which he certainly had. I'm sure at least the beginning, he had good intentions. I think, I can't say that obviously there are, you know, I'm thinking about like people, you're like, I don't think that like someone like Charles Manson ever had good intentions.
Okay.
I don't ever think that.
Okay.
But someone like Jim Jones, who was a horrible murderer, no joke. No, I mean, no question about it. I believe was someone who was delusional enough to believe that he knew all the answers.
Hmm.
I'm not saying that with any sympathy towards him or support, but I just trying to be objective, looking at him. And I think that at some point when you start collecting all these followers, it's just like, I mean, people on Instagram that have a million followers, then companies.
You hate social media.
I hate it.
Yeah.
And I'm all over it. I'm on it all the time.
Yeah.
No, but like, I just think that's our equivalent now. When you have a lot of followers, companies come to you and say, hey, you have a lot of followers. Can you mention our brand?
So it was the US government being like, will you do these sugar bear
and
hair gummies?
And he had so many friends. And he was so endorsed by people like Harvey Milk, who obviously was a hero of and
so
Walter Mondale,
like,
who tried to bring Reagan down, you know, or tried to, you know, and you know, these people who you're like, they were very much friends with him and they all swore that he was a great person. So he must have been at some point. I also think he was a full-blown drug addict and he lost his mind and he completely, but he was mentally ill. So he was, you know, beyond all recognition. And then that's when government can sweep in and say, hey, we can use you to.
So the Harvey Milks of the world, they weren't in on it.
No.
They
genuinely
were like, yeah, this guy seems good.
Truly not. And I think it's also like, I do think another thing is, you know, especially among celebrities, which Harvey Milk definitely was, Walter Mondale definitely was, like, you know people, but you don't really know them. I mean, because you are busy in your own mission and your own life and your own thing. So you know people. I mean, there are plenty of people who, you know, I can think about, like, in the comedy world that I'd be like, they're great. I have no idea what they do.
Yes.
After
well, our, haven't you know, we found that out? That we've all been
have.
Like, no, he's like a really good.
Of course.
I love this guy. And right. then everybody's like, ah, no. He's,
actually, this thing happened.
He's
and
a
you're
demon.
Like, I didn't know that. Now, there are definitely people
but
that
I
you
also
get
didn't it. Try to find out.
Right.
About
exactly. It wasn't like we were hanging out all the time. And anyway. So I think that that's the thing, too. Like, you have your friends, but you have your acquaintances. And the acquaintances are usually like, you know, these famous people that have so much going on in their own lives that they don't really know. Mm. They truly don't know.
So they said, here's this like fundraising dinner for this progressive Jesus guy.
Right.
Sure,
who's promoting,
it's the 70s.
You know, socialism, which right. at the time, you know, and all this stuff that's like,
ooh,
that's
it was
social
hot,
change.
Hot, hot.
And so everyone's like, what a great, you know, thinker. And what a great idea. And then he's promoting equal rights. He's saying, you know, let's let black people run things for a while. Doesn't that sound great? And we're like, I can imagine being like, yeah, please, let's do that.
In researching this, I was like, I probably would have gone to that fucking church.
Oh, of
like,
course.
That sounds
well, like,
nice.
Well, yeah, when I watched Wild Wild Country, I was like, wow, I could put on a maroon sarong and whirl around myself because it all sounds great. You know,
I believe in woo-woo shit. It's why I'm in this town trying to have a career because I have this magical thinking.
Well, we have to. Yeah. Oh my God, doing what we're doing for, you know, a living or...
Oh, brother. Or more or less a living.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you have to, you know, you have to be kind of a cuckoo dreamer. And I do think that's California attracts more, you know, cult members than anywhere because people come out here looking for an answer.
Yeah, and a family.
But I'd rather be with someone who's questioning and looking than somebody who's like shut down and knows all the answers.
Make that your Tinder profile.
How about
that?
That
was a beautiful sentence. Hey, I loved that. So the government sort of saw that things were taking a turn with Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. He was getting more manipulable and they swoop in. Do you think it was before or after Guyana?
I think it was before.
Okay.
I really do. I think it was part of the plan. They offered him a deal on land and the whole situation. I don't even know. I can't even imagine to what level they would even tell him because, you know, why tell him, you know, why tell him everything if you don't have to? It's like, you know, it's just
oh,
in
damn.
A way of being like,
they were just
know.
Like, hey, this guy's coming with you now. Don't ask
yeah,
any questions.
And then it's just like let's try this out. Let's see if this works. And you know, and just because there were too many of these experiments that were happening, and this could be one on a grand scale. And then when you're seeing like this whole exodus from California down to this place, is a perfect time to test. Mm-hmm. And it's not on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
no one had heard of Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll just, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is a thrill. We got to take a quick break for an ad, and then we'll be right back. It's the return. The return of the Mac. The return of the Mac Weldon. One of my very favorite sponsors has returned to us. I love their clothing. They are a company that believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. The website is super, super easy. You go to macweldon.com. You look through their lovely stock for all your basics. Underwear, socks, t-shirts, sweatshirts. I have one of their sweatshirts, and I absolutely love it. And if you put in the promo code LIZARD, you'll get 20% off your first order. But what are you getting? Well, you can choose from the line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. You can choose from their very comfortable and marvelous underwear, socks, shirts that look good and perform well, too, for working out, going to work, working on dates, working on your everyday life. And believe me, honey, relationships are work. I have a bunch of marvelous things from Mac Weldon that I wear all the time. I have a super cute sweatshirt that fits me beautifully, even though I'm a lady. I bought Ryan, producer Ryan, who some of you might remember, some socks that he wears all the time and he's worn for 2 years and they still look mwah, gorgeous. So like I said, MacWeldon.com, super simple, easy website shopping process. You're going to get your nice underwear, you're going to get your lovely, fresh, non-stinky socks, and you're going to enter the promo code LIZARD, L-I-Z-A-R-D, for 20% off your first order. If you don't like it, which seems crazy to me, you can keep your first pair and they will still refund you. That's how much they believe in their clothes. MacWeldon.com, promo code LIZARD, 20% off your first order. You deserve it. I want to talk to you about Richard Dwyer, mm-hmm. who was the cultural attaché. He was someone in the diplomatic service.
Yes. And he worked at CIA?
So there's some debate about that.
Okay.
Because he denies that he ever worked with the CIA, mm-hmm. but there is this KGB, oh my God, I love this. There's this KGB book called Who's Who in the CIA, and it names Richard Dwyer. But a lot of people don't know if that was legitimate because it was printed in 1968 by the KGB based on the best intelligence they could get.
Uh-huh.
So Dwyer says, no, I was never involved with the CIA. The Russians say, yes, he was involved with the CIA. And at the time he was in Guyana working at the embassy. Do you think Richard Dwyer is just a regular old government employee, or do you think he had something to do with the tests?
Well, that's insane that he was that he was in Guyana, because I knew that he was. I knew that he was in with MK Ultra, that he was involved in that whole situation. So again, what was he doing there?
He was working for the civil service.
Guyana.
I mean, okay, and here's why I have to start to argue with you. A lot of people are in the CIA or have been at some time. Maybe they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. And they all have to get jobs.
Right.
So I would imagine that in embassies all across this whole beautiful green earth of ours, there are people who are formerly CIA.
Sure. But that's so suspect that would be where he would be. And the fact that he's it's iffy, who he was and where he was. Because I know, was he the guy that burned all the records of MK Ultra?
Allegedly.
Okay, because there were all this, because I know about that too. In the 70s, a few years before all this happened, they were ordered to burn all records of it. But then there was a secret vault. Because the only thing that even reason that you even knew about this MK Ultra was there was a secret vault where papers were,
wait, I have not quote heard unquote about this.
Placed. Well, they were supposed to all be destroyed, but there was a whole handful of papers that were put in this vault accidentally, and were found later. And that's how they found evidence of all this even happening. Because it was all around Watergate when they were just burning documents. Back, obviously, 20 plus years before digital age, when they could just shred things and burn things. And then they never happened.
And that was the end of it.
He was involved in all of that too. So it's sort of that.
So
weird...
say the people who believe in this theory.
Yes.
So they say.
But it's also it just feels what's his name and, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and, Perkins and 9 to 5, that same kind of mysterious man who's kind of always lurking in the shadows. Why is he always there?
Slugworth.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So Dwyer is the Slugworth of the situation. Okay.
Yeah. It just feels way too convenient for me.
Okay.
That he of all places on this beautiful green earth, that he would be there.
But what if it had happened in friggin' the Alps? You know what I mean? If Jim Jones had been we're all going to the Alps, and then there was a massacre. I think there it's just as statistically likely that
there'd be a CIA.
Yeah, former.
There.
Yeah.
Yes, but not one that's connected to this government testing, because that's an added layer. Because there's, CIA can be.
I can't prove
things.
That he was connected to the government testing.
Well, yeah.
Can you?
No one can. The fire can.
All right, fair enough. So speaking of the Russians, I have another question for you. So some people in Russia, there was a book published that ended up being, I think, a Russian bestseller about how Jonestown was a true socialist paradise. Mm-hmm. Everything was going really great. And the mass suicide is a cover story, because what actually happened was Senator Ryan came down and was like, oh no, Americans are going to discover that socialism is tight and gnarly and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going to default to the USSR. And so Ryan came in and strafed all the people. Do you think that is true?
No.
Okay.
No, because I feel like that's absolutely crazy. That sounds very much like an idealist, socialist idea that is like, well, how would that even...
I didn't sell it as well as I'm sure.
No. But I mean, I can hear the logic in it, but it just seems really crazy. So they're saying that Ryan ordered all their deaths?
Not necessarily Ryan, but he was a government lackey who was like part of the killing.
I mean, I don't know that he was clean in the situation, but I definitely think it was, I believe it was an experiment gone wrong.
Okay.
As opposed to, and I think that how they can, they handle these things is that they will, you know, everything's like, oh, if it's an accident, we're going to make it look like a murder or whatever. We're never going to admit that it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that it was, you know,
the other way around.
No, because there are too many people who were in the cult who have escaped and talk about how difficult it was when they were there. And they said it was, you know, a work camp and it was terrible.
Yeah.
So no one that was in that in the situation, you know, talks about how great it was and how it was ruined when Ryan came down. You know,
yeah.
I think you would hear that from at least somebody that was there. Who right. was like, it was actually perfect.
Yeah. Which brings me to another question. Why haven't we heard from survivors saying, yes, we were being tested on?
I don't think that they knew.
Okay.
I don't know that they knew. And I don't know. I mean, they were
so just
definitely
like shit in the water.
There's definitely like evidence of all the drugs that they were being given leading up to this. And there was all kinds of testing to see how far we can do and this and that. And then I just think there's got to be, I mean, not only survivor's guilt, but you've got to have so much guilt from just like, you've got to feel so had. I can't imagine having come from that situation and being like, I can't believe I fell for this. And I went down there for this person who ended up killing these people who I was building houses with and these families and these
babies.
Children and babies that were screaming.
It's so horrible.
Horrible.
Ugh. When you stop to think about it, Jonestown was bad.
Yeah. You know what? Go out on a limb and say it.
I don't like it.
Not a fan. No, but they found like, I mean, in the autopsy of so many of those bodies there, they found needle marks in like over 100 people.
Yes.
And there's also that, like what were they being injected with? I mean, I know there was a theory that they were injecting them with that to may help them die quicker because the poison was so painful. But it's like, how do you do it that fast? I just believe that they were being sort of prodded and experimented with for a while.
Oh, so you think the needle marks could have been from weeks?
Oh, it could have been from a week ago, 2 weeks before, yeah.
Hmm.
You know, and
who was doing the injecting then?
Probably like, you know, higher ranking members of, you know,
who,
the church.
Who like were in with the government?
I think if everything would come through him, and I think if the government would, you know, give Jim Jones all of these people would just blindly do whatever Jim Jones would say. But I don't think that they knew.
But
I think our government was way savvier than. I also think, you know, it's like it was really scary what was happening. I mean, Watergate was terrifying because we didn't have social media then. We didn't have these outlets to anything. And our government was, I mean, you know, Nixon was evil and smart, like really calculating. And, you know, there was so much change happening and they were terrified because it's still happening now. But these old white men are dying out. But they were alive and well in the 70s. I mean, they were, but it was women's lib was happening, gay rights was happening, all that was happening when they were like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How are we going to stop this? You know, there were riots in the streets.
So do you think that could have been part of the plan?
I think it was part of the ideology where they were like, how do we control the people?
Okay.
So they were getting out of control and, you know.
So the drugs were coming through Jones, getting administered by higher up members of the church. How was the government monitoring the effects? Oh, my voice just broke like a little teenage boy. Because if there aren't like operatives embedded there.
Right.
How
right.
do they know what the
I know there were a
are?
Lot of recordings. They did a lot of taped recordings.
True.
You know, like not video, but audio. And they probably relied on Jones. Jones did a lot of journals. He was always showing them films. He was always showing them propaganda. And so I think he was reporting back to them, you know, through, you know, tapes and, you know, yeah. I mean, they also were getting supplies from some, because they weren't able to grow their own stuff. They were eating a lot of rotting food. They were getting, but they were getting, I mean, they had millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's another thing. How did he have millions of dollars? I understand a church.
The skeptical argument is like he had people in the U.S. giving them donations mm-hmm. for his grand project. We're like, I wish I could go, but I'll just give you 50% of every paycheck.
Right.
Like many a cult.
Sure, sure. But that's a very hard stranglehold to have over someone who's not physically there. Like when someone's physically there, you have a lot more power over them. But someone just writing these checks to this church, I'm sure that was happening, but I just think when you look at the numbers of several million dollars that they had in the 70s, you know, inflation, everything's going on. No one had any money
then. Stagflation.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, honey. Okay. Okay. Follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to put an argument to you.
All right.
What if Jim Jones was just a brilliant piece of shit with no government affiliation at all? What if he was a smooth talker who just managed to con his way into the good graces of, you know, your Harvey Milks? And then he completely lost his fucking mind, moved everybody to Guyana, and was always planning on making them kill themselves, and that's why he ordered the cyanide in the first place, and the government had nothing to do with it. Are you convinced?
No. I think a lot of that's true. Okay. I think he was everything you said in the beginning. I think he was manipulated. I think he was seen as getting too much power too fast. And then I think the government stepped in and then was using all of those qualities in him. I don't think he intended on bringing everybody down there to kill them.
Okay.
I think he really planned on having a utopian society, and I think he was out of his mind and saw no way out at the end of the rope. And I think that, you know, but I just, you know, I find it too suspect that they had been given drugs for quite some time. And then, you know, I think they were involved.
Too sus.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, my goodness. Jim Jones sucked.
What did you say? What sucked?
Jim Jones. I just keep going back to how bad it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel as though you have any concluding points that you want to make, any evidence that you didn't get to talk about before I come to a decision on whether I'm convinced?
Well, I would just say I never trust the government when it comes to a bright, shining star, a bright, shining celebrity. I think they are immediately threatened because they're jealous of the power. That's what politics is. That's what celebrity is. And when someone naturally has an ability to control a large group of people, motivate a large group of people, I am always nervous for them because I feel like our system creeps in and uses them the best way that they can.
Damn.
Profound.
Okay. Well, I need a quick second to sort of just, you know, be alone in my own mind.
Okay, great.
And just sort of come to a verdict or ranking. So if I could have you just sort of kill some time on the mic.
Sure.
Feel free to promote things or talk about other conspiracy theories you love or whatever strikes your fancy. It's your podcast now.
Okay. Okay, great. I love it. Hi, guys. What can I talk about? I love this. I do believe that our government's involved in a lot of really creepy, sleazy things. I also have, on the other hand, a very idealistic view of what this country's about, and I want things to be better, and I want us all to just take care of each other. So there's also that thing. So I don't know. I mean, I was talking to Caitlin earlier. I do believe that AIDS was invented in a lab and then tested it on monkeys who ended up biting. It has to be. That's disease warfare. Come on. There's just no way that, you know. So I think I will always believe that. I also just love looking at the other side of things and sort of, you know, I think there's always more than meets the eye. And I think we're told a lot of things that we should always question. I think questions are always more important than the answers. So, I just think anytime you're just presented with something, always, you know, double check, do your research.
Yeah, don't just share a Facebook article without actually reading the article.
Look at it. This thing last week about the gay couple and the wedding cake. I was like, well, when the Supreme Court votes 7-2, there's something more than meets the eye. The Supreme Court would not vote 7-2 against gay rights. That's not what was happening.
And it's just this particular case. They said in the majority decision, this cannot be used as precedent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that everyone on Facebook that day was going, oh, the Supreme Court's against gay rights and gay people can't eat cake and losing their mind. And you're like, wait a minute.
I mean, they probably are against gay rights individuals.
Who isn't?
Oh my word. It's not that kind of podcast.
What if that was my reveal?
You love God.
Yes, I am just, if you can't tell from my voice, I'm very heterosexual.
When I said Tinder, I meant for women, for the women you are picking up.
No, I just, that was one of those things, situations where you're like, they ruled that that you can't make someone make something. Even if you disagree with them, you can't make someone make something that they disagree with. That's the law. Whether you agree or not, you know, obviously... Also, I was like, please, any business that has an issue with any kind of person, please put a sign outside that says, I don't like this kind of person. And I will immediately leave. No matter what whatever that sign says, I will avoid that business. We live in the United States. We don't have to get our cake here. There'll be another company next door that will happily make a cake for me and my husband.
Because it's fucking good business sense to not be a bigot.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you're a true capitalist,
please let me know because I don't want cake that you made. I don't trust you.
From your dirty little
mitts. I don't want your gross homophobic cake.
You don't wash under your fucking nails.
No. And why would you?
Yeah.
So anyway, but we don't research enough. We don't look enough. We don't look deep enough because we're reactionary. And it's kind of where we are.
Where we are. Every single time I log online, I get mad.
Oh,
and most of the time I do not do my research.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on lizard people, I tend to break my reaction into two different scales.
Okay.
Want to believe, how just compelling it is with the narrative is and do believe, just the cold heart, how much I'm convinced.
Yes.
That it's not quite the truth. So do believe, out of 10 Slugworths, I'm going to give this one a 3.
Okay.
I'm not convinced, but there's a little seed of doubt that mm-hmm. you have planted mm-hmm. in me that mm-hmm. is but it doesn't really add up.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many trials. So, want to believe, out of 10 nasty Reagans, I'm going to give this one a 5.
Okay.
I'm split right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to believe it because part of me still wants to think that the government is not capable of such large-scale evil mm-hmm. and it was just one crazy. But I also sort of want to believe it because I don't want those people to have been duped by just one asshole shit stain guy.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit more soothing if it's like, well, this was a big plot all along.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I never thought of it that way, but I guess you're right. Yeah.
How much do you want to believe it?
It's so weird. I haven't even thought about how much I want to believe it. Because I don't want to believe that our government's capable of anything. I don't want to believe it. But I do... In a way that I just think we just on a human level, we hate things that burn too brightly. We kill those things. We get rid of them in any way that we can.
Like Britney.
Like Britney. Like Britney. And by burning brightly, I do mean Britney Spears.
I hear Shining Star and I can't help myself.
But kind of, yeah.
I just assume, yeah.
Sure. Marilyn Monroe, Martin Luther King.
Absolutely. Amy Winehouse.
Sure.
Other female pop stars. Martin Luther King and then 5 female pop stars.
And then all
stars.
Female pop stars. But it's that thing. It's like you can't get above. It's like the idea of it's a Southern phrase, don't get above your raising.
Ooh.
Not that I think, you know, I'm certainly not saying that Jim Jones was a bright star, but I think he had the power. He had the ability over people.
And someone said, I want that.
They were
that.
Like, I crave that.
Yeah. They got it. Oh my goodness. What a roller coaster of emotions this has been.
It's been really, I mean, it's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
I've drank my full water. No, I haven't. I still have more water
Sip
left.
Sip it. Hydrate. It's a warm spring evening.
Yeah.
Do you have stuff to plug? Where should people follow you if they want more Drew?
I am on the Instagram and the Twitter and all the social media that I've been railing against all night. I'm on all of it. And
Facebook, but you do want more followers.
I need
them.
I mean, you guys, please follow me. I really need it. You don't understand. It's really hard out there. What do I have? We just announced today. I was doing for the last couple of years off and on, and I was doing it here, and then I took it to New York and did it. We're for 5 months off Broadway, a solo play called Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. Speaking of bright shining stars, it's called Bright
you
Colors.
Are
and,
one.
Oh, thank you.
Be careful.
That's why I'm nervous. I can't leave this place. The government thinks I'm too big of a deal. Oh my God.
Your solo one-man show.
I didn't know. My show has nothing to do with any of that. But my show is called Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. And we filmed it for Broadway HD. So it'll be available online in July. But the world premiere will be at Outfest Film Festival in LA July 18th. So if you're in LA, swing by. Come see it's a filmed play. And so we filmed it in front of an audience. But it'll be at the Directors Guild. Within like a week later, it'll be online.
That's on Broadway HD.
My podcast, Minor Revelations, will be coming back. Our company folded, and I've been trying desperately to get that back. So if you've listened to that or interested in that, I promise I'm getting that back together as well. I'm also on the TV show Heathers, which every day we get new news about what's happening with that. So stay tuned. Hopefully that will be available to be seen somewhere. So everything's in flux right now.
You guys. Tell me about it, brother.
Yeah.
You just got to ride the ride.
Absolutely.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I love it.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much.
It was
so much fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. Finish that water.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lizard People. I've been your host, Caitlin Hempstead. And if you're interested in supporting the show, you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Bye.
Campfire.